Britain's opposition Labour Party faces an uphill struggle after Prime Minister Theresa May announces an early election. The Liberal Democrats, who were almost wiped out at the last election, have said that this will be a chance for people to vote against May's plan for what they call a hard Brexit.
The UK, after the United States, is by far the number two place with a huge distance to number three. And so maintaining that scientific excellence, because it would be a huge loss to the world and the UK if that wasn't done. It can be done. I think they're being careful to make sure that they're not dropping off on that.
Together, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that more products are stamped with those wonderful words, made in the USA. The old days we used to use it, we don't use it so much anymore. We're going to start using it again. Made in the USA.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's April 19th, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad to have you along again for another edition of the opening bell. It's another business day as well. Lots to cover today. A little bit later in the program, we're going to bring in Heather Long from CNN Money to talk about some surveying they've been doing about America and whether or not Americans have become too lazy. They got an earful from their survey, and we'll talk to Heather about it and why they did it in the first place. And coming up in just a little bit, State Representative Kelly Cassidy of Illinois talking about the legalization of marijuana in the state. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are looking for opening gains on Wall Street later this morning. The Dow futures up 36, NASDAQ and S&P futures higher as well. Crude oil is trading at $52.60 a barrel this morning, up about 19 cents. Around the globe this morning, shares in Europe are generally higher, with FTSE up about 2 points and the DAX up about 38 points. In Asia, numbers are mixed this morning, generally lower, but the Nikkei about 128 points to the higher. The Asian Dow, the Hang Seng, Shanghai, all lower this morning. A couple of big stories that we've been covering since you went to bed last night. Japan and the U.S. have outlined a path forward for economic talks with the two countries. The announcement followed an inaugural meeting Tuesday of the U.S.-Japan Economic Dialogue in Tokyo, chaired by visiting Vice President Mike Pence and the Japanese Deputy Prime Minister. It said the dialogue would focus on three areas, trade and investment rules and issues, cooperation in macroeconomic policy and specific industry sectors as well. The dialogue was set up by President Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe during the Japanese leader's visit here in February. The CEO of United Airlines says no one will be fired over the dragging of a man off a plane, including the CEO himself. CEO Oscar Munoz said yesterday that he takes full responsibility for making it right. This was a conference call after the earnings, United earnings, were a little bit lower than expected. The incident this month has further tarnished United's reputation recently. There was an incident involving leggings just about a month or so ago. Company executive says it's too soon to know if this incident is hurting ticket sales. United reported about a 57% drop in revenue over the last quarter. Yesterday in Washington, Secretary of Homeland Security John Kelly told an audience there that the nation is under attack. He devoted a lot of his remarks to drugs and said that most of the violence coming across the border is because it's being fueled by Americans' appetite for drugs. On that point, Kelly says the Department of Homeland Security would enforce existing marijuana laws. He told the crowd, in his words, "Let me be clear, it is a potentially dangerous gateway drug." That brings us to our conversation this morning. Here in Illinois, state lawmakers filed legislation to legalize marijuana use. It's happening in a number of states across the country. It would not only legalize the use, but manufacture and distribution here in the state. 14th District State Representative Kelly Cassidy, a Democrat from Chicago, is with us this morning. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to have you on the show this morning. Welcome to the opening bell. This is an interesting topic because other states, at least one other state I know, has done this. It's been sort of a boon in terms of tax revenue, and that's exactly what this bill would do, wouldn't it? It would generate some tax money.
Absolutely. In fact, there are eight states and the District of Columbia that have done it. We are We are among three right now that have serious bills in consideration. Two of them apparently have a better than even chance of actually passing this year. Senator Staines and I actually are playing, you know, sort of taking the long view on this. We don't anticipate a vote on this bill this session. But, you know, I think that we're likely to see the number of states that have a tax and regulate structure in place grow this year. More than half the people in this country live under some form of legalization, whether we're talking about medical cannabis or recreational.
Talk to us a little bit about what is included in this, because it's sort of a wide-ranging bill. Give us some of the highlights of it.
So what it would do is legalize possession of up to 28 grams for adults, and it would create a regulatory structure for the growth, manufacture, distribution, and sale of cannabis products for adult use. And it's really important that you know, I'm going to say that over and over again, because it is critical that this is about adult use. This is the difference here is that, you know, we are contemplating making a product quality controlled, verifiable, and available in a regulated fashion where somebody is going to be carding the purchaser. I live, you know, we all live in the city. We've all seen this. I've never seen a drug dealer card anybody. So the reality is this is going to make it harder for kids to get access. And it will make the product that is available that, you know, some 750,000 people in Illinois are estimated to use the product, and only 17,000 of them have a medical card. So the 99% of people who use this product who don't have access to the medical program are going to have access to a safe, tested, quality-controlled, regulated product.
Yeah, and there's also the violence aspect of drug dealing as well. This would take some of that out of it. This bill would sort of treat marijuana like alcohol, like buying alcohol.
Absolutely, and it really comes down to prohibition didn't work then, and it doesn't work now.
So we will get into some of the numbers on this, because I'm interested to know just how much this might be able to develop for Illinois in terms of tax revenue. We'll continue our conversation in a minute with 14th District State Representative Kelly Cassidy of Chicago. It's a bill to legalize marijuana in the state.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks fell after weak first quarter reports from Johnson & Johnson and Goldman Sachs. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 114 points to close at 20,523. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ Composite each fell 7 points. Government figures show airlines are canceling fewer flights, but they are running late more often than last year. Delta Airlines had the best on-time rating, followed by American and Virgin America. Passengers were most likely to have a flight canceled by JetBlue. Bank of America's first quarter profits grew nearly 40%, partly on the strong performance of the investment banking division. Like its major competitors, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo, Bank of America was helped along by higher interest rates. And Subaru is recalling more than 33,000 2017 Imprezas. Those vehicles may have a fuel problem that can make the engines stall without warning. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 521. Our discussion this morning about legalizing marijuana in Illinois, also creating a little bit of tax revenue from it. 14th District State Representative Kelly Cassidy, a Democrat from Chicago, is with us. Kelly, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the plan. I want to mention, because we had that story before the segment began about the Secretary of Department of Homeland Security talking about the fight against marijuana on a national level. How do the state's efforts in these areas conflict with that?
Well, actually, the entire context of his statement was that marijuana is not a factor in the war on drugs to him. His statements stand in stark contrast to some of the Sessions' comments, you know, trying to conflate marijuana and heroin. But Secretary Kelly actually talked about it in terms of, yes, the war on drugs is real. Yes, you know, this administration needs to prioritize going after the cartels. But he literally said marijuana is not a factor in the war on drugs, and we don't intend to step up on that front. That said, you're right. There are some confusing statements coming out of this administration. Part of why Senator Staines and I are more than happy to have this really thorough discussion about how we move forward, so that, you know, they can kind of decide which direction they're going. I ultimately believe that at the end of the day, As I said before the break, given that more than half the people in this country are operating under some legalization mechanism, that the federal government is going to have to recognize that the door is, you know, the barn door is open, the horse is long gone. This issue is not the one they need to focus on.
Yeah, and even here in Illinois, it was last year, I believe, when Governor Rauner signed the decriminalization of marijuana in this state. So we're already down that road here in Illinois, aren't we?
Absolutely. Senator Staines and I, in fact, I noticed today is the anniversary. Thank you, Facebook memory. Today is the anniversary of the passage of the Uniform Civil Enforcement Bill in the Senate, which took away the possibility of arrest and criminal prosecution for low-level possession of marijuana up to 10 grams. So, yes, and that became law in Illinois in July, which, you know, changed years of sort of inconsistency around the state. We had a patchwork of laws where, you know, in some areas you could get a ticket, in some areas you could get arrested. Your fine could be $5 or $1,000. You could have 2 ounces, you know, you could have 2 grams or an unlimited amount. There was no consistency. And so what we did was create a uniform civil scheme for low-level possession.
So back to this bill with legalization and taxation, how would the taxation part of this bill work that you're proposing?
So when we set about to draft this, we looked at the experiences of other states. We have a great benefit of learning from now 8 states on the tax and regulate side. And so what we did was what we've proposed is a $50 per ounce for all, it's nearly an ounce, interchangeable. We talk about 28 grams, a $50 excise tax at the wholesale level on 28 grams. Of marijuana, and then regular sales tax would apply at the dispensary level. With that in place, the estimates are between $350 and $700 million per year just in that revenue alone. And keep in mind, that doesn't take into account new jobs from both on the growth side and the dispensary side. That doesn't, and the income tax that goes along with those, the business taxes that go along with that, the general development of, you know, new workplaces and new businesses that go along with it. And in many states, they were surprised to see the huge tourism money that came in as a result of becoming a tax and regulate state. So, you know, that $350 to $700 million estimate is really just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, and not only is there that money that would come in, but this bill specifically says where it has to go, where that revenue would be distributed.
It does. It does. It has half of the income, half of the revenue going into the general revenue fund, 30% going to the school fund, and 20% going to the Department of Public Health for the administration of the program and drug education.
This is comes at a time when the state is desperate for money, I guess. Is that a good way to describe our fiscal situation?
What's the next word after desperate?
Right. Destitute.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And, you know, today Senator Staines and I are going to be hosting the first hearing on this bill. We are each appropriations chairs in our chambers, and that's where our bills are located, and that's where we're having these discussions within the Senate Appropriations 1 and House Public Safety Appropriations Committee.
What do you see as the opposition to this? Where do you think the hardest opposition will come from?
Well, you know, if using our prior bills as a guide comes into play, there are the prohibitionists. You know, these are folks who, if we were discussing alcohol prohibition, would probably be on board for it. So there's that sort of traditional conservative religious faction that shrinks every day. And then there's concerns from law enforcement. Right now, the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police is opposed. But, you know, they ultimately came around to neutral on the ticket bill. And, you know, given that this is the beginning of a lengthy conversation, you know, perhaps we can get them there again.
14th District State Representative Kelly Cassidy, Democrat from Chicago. Representative, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. You can follow State Representative Kelly on Twitter as well, at Rep. Kelly Cassidy. And this is Bill 20, House Bill 2353. Again, law to legalize marijuana use, manufacture, and distribution in the state, treating marijuana like alcohol.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:39. Glad to have you along on our Wednesday edition here of The Opening Bell. From the Census Bureau, 614,000 new businesses created in 2006, just 453,000 in 2014, raises the question, have Americans become too lazy? CNN Money, Heather Long, the folks there have been asking that question and getting a lot of response to that. Heather's with us this morning. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Steve.
Nice to talk with you. Apparently you guys got an earful on this. Why did you ask this question in the first place?
Well, yeah, exactly. If you ever are at a boring dinner party, I recommend throwing out the question, are Americans lazy or are they getting lazier? The reason we ran two pieces on that last week was because of a new book, which I found really fascinating, by an economist named Tyler Cowen. He wrote a book called The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream. And in it, he lays out this argument that basically boils down to Americans are getting lazier. He uses the word that we're getting more complacent, that we aren't taking as much risk. And he points to a number of data factors. One you just mentioned, Americans are not doing as many startups as we used to. And it's not just lower than a few years ago because of the recession. We're actually near a 40-year low in terms of new business creation. He also points out that our growth has slowed down since the golden era, if you will, the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and we don't move as much, which always fascinates me. I always think, oh, we hear all these headlines, all these people are moving to cities, but yet if you look, we actually, compared to like a century ago, we're not moving as many miles and as many of us moving across the country like they used to. So, and then the final point he makes, which I find really fascinating, is that we live in these very segregated communities. Again, we often think we're very multicultural, more diverse, yet when you look at the data across the nation, in some situations across the country, we've actually become more segregated in terms of living with people who are similar socioeconomic levels or similar race to us. So all of this, he says, kind of adds up to Americans aren't taking as much risk anymore, and he argues that hurts the economy.
Yeah, and it's kind of the argument is I could see, you know, why people would side with this, because he does say it's kind of hurts to be innovative, and also technology on the flip side of that's actually helping us to be more lazy.
Yeah, and I found that part interesting too, because your immediate reaction is, wait a minute, come on, we've created all of these amazing things. I mean, you might hold up a Steve Jobs or a Mark Zuckerberg or somebody like that and say, what do you mean we're not as innovative? And a lot of people want to be America. And yet he makes this great point that when you look at a lot of what we've done, certainly in the last kind of 15 to 20 years, it's around personal technology where many of the gains have been made. And he jokes about, you know, when you think about things like Netflix or the Amazon delivering our packages right to our door, it basically means we kind of stay more at home and live these more comfortable lives where we're entertained and we don't even want to, in some cases, go out of the house anymore. When we make jokes about it, you know, Friday night, let's go home and watch Netflix. And so it all adds up, again, to this being more complacent.
So you heard from people on this. What were their arguments to the opposite?
Yeah. Well, look, a lot of people immediately read the headline lazy and they just had this huge and angry reaction. And in some sense, they're right, because they were trying. I remember looking this up. Bernie Sanders on the campaign trail would always make the comment, the average American worker is working longer and for lower wages now. And I remember fact checking that during the campaign. And it's true that compared to, say, the late 70s or early 80s, Americans today do work more hours. And I think that was kind of about half the readers were writing in to say, wait a minute, Americans do work hard. I work two jobs. I work three jobs. We heard from a lot of people like that. But then others sort of said, yeah, I agree, but I think what Tyler Cowen is missing is kind of the reasons that people don't want to take those risks anymore. And that turned out to be a really fascinating conversation. A lot of people pointed to things like healthcare. You know, people may not want to change jobs and they may not want to move because healthcare today is still very tied to your employer. Other people pointed to inequality. You know, the cards are so stacked against you, you know, the 1% having all the wealth or whatnot, that it might be hard to even want to take some of those risks. Other people pointed to debt, a lot of student debt for young people. You know, how can you start a business or even buy a home or whatnot when you've got all that student debt? Some people pointed to government benefits. They said, look, you know, maybe the government has made it too easy to not work or not take risks. So it turned out to be a really deep and fascinating conversation about what's wrong with the economy and why.
Yeah, and certainly you could bring in a political argument on this as well, and it's something that the new administration has promised to do, and that is cut back on some regulations, maybe make it easier for people to innovate. Is that possibly one of the areas that we might see change over the next 4 years or no?
I mean, we already are. You can argue that that's one of the few things that some of these executive orders have been able to do. A lot of people in particular point to the coal industry and to some of the fossil fuel industry. So, and then the other big one that we seem to be seeing momentum on is Dodd-Frank, kind of those financial regulations. That's one of the reasons that so many of the bank stocks really jumped right after the election and in the early part of this year, although that's leveling off a little bit since we haven't seen the final bill. We sort of haven't seen where all that's going. So, yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because we did hear from a lot of small business owners, and the two themes that we heard were exactly what you're saying, a lot of regulation, and they would like to see that change. But the second thing that really almost made me sad was so many small business owners wrote into us, and they said, I would not tell my kid, maybe my kid who's coming out of high school or college, to be a small business owner today. And that was, I thought, very sad and troubling.
Yeah, that strikes right at the heart of what it is to be in America, doesn't it? I mean, to have and to tell that to a generation that, boy, that would create even more problems going forward.
Exactly. And that does kind of reinforce a little bit of what Tyler Cowen was arguing and kind of what we were hearing.
Yeah, and Cowen actually has some ideas for how this might change. And tell us about what he thinks might jumpstart us to have more risk-taking.
Well, this is where it gets a little bit scarier. I kept asking, we had a good phone conversation, and I was like, you know, America, we're good at reinventing ourselves. Let's have some optimism here. And he said, well, I hope that's the case. I hope we're able to kind of jumpstart something to get back to that risk-taking, to get back to kind of that traditional American spirit we all think of. But he says it's more likely it may take what he calls a major trauma to get us out of this complacency. And I said, well, what's a major trauma? And that's something like a war, a natural disaster. So I certainly hope it does not take that.
Yeah. And then there are others, too. I mean, we're hearing a lot about these. It's the phrase we hear a lot is the moonshot moment or a moonshot effort. Is that something maybe that the company, the country could all rally around as some uniting force or uniting effort to do something like solve a medical problem or maybe even to put another man in space like on Mars or something?
Yeah, you're spot on, Steve. And again, that's Tyler Cowen's point. And we heard that from some readers, too, because in terms of what government could do, or even a business and government partnership could do, both Tyler Cowen and readers were saying that exactly what you're saying, that it's more spending on research and development. And everybody loves the point to the man on the moon type challenge, but or the Manhattan Project, maybe. That's exactly what he said, too, that he wishes we could get away from the kind of partisan discussion. And he thinks it would be a really good sign. And we heard that from readers, if we saw the government and other institutions spending more money again on research and development.
Yeah, and some of those big problems, too, have to be ironed out first. I know immigration's a big deal. That has to sort of be solved. Some of these other tax-related things, the minimum wage, fight for 15, all of that seems to be obstacles in the way, doesn't it?
Maybe. I'm particularly glad you brought up immigration, because when we talk about people who are hardworking, and when we talk about people who are innovative and who start small businesses, the data certainly lines up of immigrants doing more of that. They embrace that American dream and embrace that spirit right away. And you do see a lot of that new business creation from immigrants. So that was another point he made in terms of something government can do and something America can do, trying to reinvigorate this risk-taking appetite, is to bring in more immigrants. And he doesn't take a stance on, like many people, he says, look, the immigration system could change. We could maybe prioritize more higher skilled immigration, like in Australia or Canada. I mean, he's not saying everything's perfect with the system that we have, but certainly the data would point to we should be thinking more about immigration reform.
Interesting conversation here, Heather, and maybe it's one of those situations where sometimes you have to tell people the hard truth, maybe point the mirror back at them to get them motivated to not be lazy anymore.
I agree with you. I sort of shook me up, too, when I looked back at my own life. How much risk have I taken myself?
Heather Long is a senior stock market economy writer at CNN Money. You can follow her by Heather Long and at CNN Money on Twitter. Heather, thanks for being with us this morning.
Take care.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street later, up 24 points. S&P futures up 6. NASDAQ futures up about 16. Crude oil at $52.57 a barrel. Gold and silver are trading lower this morning. Gold almost off 3/4, silver off almost a half. A couple of other stories we're watching for you this morning. Back to our pot conversation this morning. A business believed to be Colorado's first drive-through marijuana shop is set to open there. The Rifle Citizens Telegram reports that customers will be able to pull their cars into the Tumbleweed Express drive-through starting tomorrow. The unofficial 420 marijuana holiday. The shop's located in the western Colorado town of Parachute. Spokesman for the state Marijuana Enforcement Division says the agency isn't aware of any other drive-through pot shops in California. Business is complying with all of the regulations. A former strip mine would be converted into a solar farm under a proposal announced by the Appalachian Coal Company that says it wants to place hundreds of thousands of panels in the Kentucky mountains. The Berkeley Energy Group, EDF Renewable Energy, and former Democratic State Auditor Adam Edelin have outlined this program, looking at two mountaintop removal sites just outside of Pikeville in Kentucky. That's the heart of coal country for the solar farm that would go there. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday, April 19th, 2017. We'll see the U.S. crude oil inventories report today. A number of big earnings as well coming out, including BlackRock, eBay, American Express. The Federal Reserve Beige Book is going to be released later on this afternoon as well. Some of the other things happening today, an asteroid more than a quarter mile wide will pass close to Earth today. It'll zoom by at a distance of just over 1 million miles. We don't expect it to impact, but if it does, nice knowing you. The Supreme Court hearing today at 10 o'clock, the Trinity Lutheran Church versus Pauley. This is whether the exclusion of churches from an otherwise neutral and secular aid program violates the free exercise and equal protection clauses. This will be one of the first big cases that Neil Gorsuch will be sitting in on the high court. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, April 19th, 2017.